नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
The Atrocities of King Kamsa, Text 31.
Evam chet tarhi bhojendra pura grama brajadishu anirdarshan nirdashamscha hanishyam adya vaishishun.
If this is so, O King of Bhoja dynasty, beginning today we shall kill all the children born in all the villages, towns and pasturing grounds within the past 10 days or slightly more. Since there is no purport, I'll continue to read translations. They're constantly in anxiety, afraid of fighting. Therefore, what can they do by their endeavors to harm you? Text 33. While being pierced by your arrows, which you discharged on all sides, some of them who were injured by the multitude of arrows, but who desired to live, fled the battlefield intent on escaping. Text 34. Defeated and bereft of all weapons, some of the demigods gave up fighting and praised you with folded hands. And some of them, appearing before you with loosened garments and hair, said, O Lord, we are very much afraid of you. Text 35. When the demigods are bereft of their chariots, when they forget how to use weapons, and when they are fearful or attached to something other than fighting, or when their bows are broken, and they have thus lost ability to fight, your majesty does not kill them. Purport by His Divine Grace, Shri S. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. There are principles that govern even fighting. If an enemy has no chariot, is unmindful of fighting art because of fear, or unwilling to fight, he is not to be killed. Kamsa's ministers reminded Kamsa that despite his power, he was cognizant of the principles of fighting, and therefore he had excused the demigods because of their incapability. But the present is emergency, the ministers said. The present is emergency is not intended for such mercy or military etiquette. Now you should prepare to fight under any circumstances. Thus, they advised Kamsa to give up the traditional etiquette in fighting and chastise the enemy at any cost. Hare Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas, I'd like to speak a few things on this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although I have no qualifications actually, I'm trying to do the service. This is a very chapter where we see so much of atrocities Kamsa is about to perform. Already he has performed so much against his own family member, namely his own sister Devaki, Vasudeva, his brother-in-law, and so many of their children he killed mercilessly. Now that atrocities is going to cast out on other families outside his family, and about to kill so many innocent children just because of his own sense gratification. So sense gratification is actually blind. It encapsulates a person within that me and mind spirit. And we have been hearing so much from His Holiness Narayana Swami about this particular aspect, that how this false ego convinces one to be the enjoyer. And nothing else is important. No principles. So we see in this particular verses, these demons describe the demigods and their situation. That how they lose battle against Kamsa, and they are running here and there, practically helpless. And the description is very piteous actually, how their chariots are broken, they're standing with bowstrings, everything broken. Sometimes they're standing with their garments are loose, like kind of fatawa kapda, you know, battlefield. Just imagine the situation, hairs flowing here and there, loosened garments, folded hands, saying, "You are great, we have lost," like that. "We are afraid of you." And Kamsa would kind of false pride, although he would follow etiquettes, but it's actually kind of false pride, he just excused them. But here the advisors are telling him, now it's not time to excuse anyone, just kill irrespective of what is the situation, because we have to safeguard ourselves. And he describes, goes on the describe, like Maharaj explained the other day, how these three primary important demigods, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, Vishnu has gone to live in the hearts of the yogis. Brahmaji is doing tapasya all the time in Tapolok, Brahmalok. And Lord Shiva has gone to retire to forest, Banarpastha. So, we see that these three principal demigods, they have no interest in this material world in one sense. They're in their own way. But other demigods, they have taken charge on behalf of Lord Krishna and trying to administer. So in one sense, actually we are all visitors into this world. Like you go to a distant place to travel. You're a traveler. You're going and coming out of that place. And in between we should not claim anything to be ours. Like we come without anything, we take birth and we go die without taking any things. But in between come across so many things and we think it is mine, it is mine, it is mine. This is ours. And in this way we get attached to this world. And we forget Krishna. And we forget that we are a traveler, basically. We think we belong to this place. This place is ours. Like all this. This is how the demons basically think. And all the primary demigods, they are not interested, not inclined for this kind of things. And other demigods, they administer this universe on behalf of Krishna. So they put rules and regulations to convince people you are travelers in this world. So the rules and regulations stops us from unlimited enjoyment. But the demons are convinced that this is our place and we should enjoy the way we like. Why these demigods come in between? Put so many rules, regulations. So we don't want them. We should kill them all. And if Vishnu comes in their side, then we'll kill him also. But we want unlimited enjoyment, pure, no restrictions. And we have seen throughout the history how Ravana would just try to build that staircase and Hiranyakashipu would send those who are sinful, those who break rules, they would go to the heavens. Those who would not break rules, they would go to the hell. He arranged that system. Sometimes it sounds very attractive to enjoy unlimitedly in this world. But actually, this kind of enjoyment basically is suffering. The moment we are in kind of darkness, of illusion, that we are enjoyers, then the suffering, you know, side by side it comes. It's like the flip side. Enjoyment, the flip side is suffering. It just cannot be avoided. So we see how in this world these demons are constantly endeavoring to become happy. And Lord Krishna actually warns in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Moga Asha, Moga Karmano, Moga Jnana Vichetasaha, Rakshasim Asarim Bhavam, Prakriti Mohinim Srita. That those who are taken shelter of Prakriti Mohinim, Prakriti means this nature, material nature, Mohini means illusory. Then all their attempts, whether it is all their hopes to enjoy this world, to gain knowledge, or to become happy in whatever way, will be baffled, will be frustrated. Moga Asha means baffled hopes. All their hopes will be smashed actually in the due course of time. And we see how Kamsa is going to be smashed. And Mogha karma, all there, if we try to do any activities, it's not that devotees are against activities. Normally we think, karmi, karmi, and all these things. Like other day I was reading His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj's lecture on Bhagavad Gita, very nice. Those who have read much know that he describes a karmi. A karmi is one who does something and claims the fruits to be his own and try to enjoy. This way we work honestly, we get a fruit, and I enjoy, after I enjoy completely, whatever remains I give it to my wife. And after she enjoys, whatever remains goes to the children, and then to the family, then to the, you know, society, world, like that. So it is honest. Everybody would agree today that somebody works honestly, and whatever food he or she gets, they have a right to enjoy. But we see Krishna wants actually in Bhagavad Gita, karma neva adhikar asti, we have a right to, we have adhikar to work. But ma phalesu kadachana. Kadachana means never ever. Never ever think that the fruit is yours. This is something very, you know, painful for a karmi to hear, or those who are attached to the fruits. Very difficult to accept this fact. That how, whatever honestly I work, how can I not claim that fruit is mine? Now Maharaj explains very nicely. This is just like a carpenter. We employ a carpenter. And we give him woods, we give him all the facilities to prepare an altar. We give the knowledge how my altar should look. We supply all the ingredients, all the knowledge, everything, and ask him to make the altar. And he makes the altar, then says, the altar is mine. Then we say, no, it can't be yours. Then he explains how Krishna is giving all the ingredients. Bhumir, apo, nalo, vayu, kham, mana, udhir, evacha. Whatever required to build a building, build a house, build a bridge, whatever. Using Krishna's ingredients, earth, water, air, fire, ether, using the intelligence given by Krishna, we build a house, then say, house is mine. This is absurd. This is Krishna's house. Everybody should say, this is Krishna's house, not my house. So, ma phalesu kadachana, never ever think that fruit is yours, Krishna says like that. Then he says, you are also not the cause of the work, because he gives the intelligence. He supplies all the ingredients. So therefore we see, but the those who are, so devotees are not against activities, they are against the activities of doing something independent of Krishna. So we do activities. Similarly, devotees are not against knowledge. Normally we think, you know, knowledge means not good. Just Krishna, bhakti, that's it. We are recently hearing, you know, our Premdas Ji Prabhu very nicely explaining everything, very scholarly way, that how knowledge is something we should not just abandon, and then we'll be sahajiyas basically. But knowledge is actually a stepping stone. It's a tool to be used in Krishna's service, just like our activities, like we are cooking in kitchen. It's activity. It's karma. But it is used in Krishna's service. And in this, through that activity, we please Krishna. Similarly, knowledge can also be utilized. And we, in fact, we say, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakya. We need knowledge to serve Krishna, to please devotees. But those who are not interested in Krishna, whether they be a karmi, who do activities, or they're jnani, aspiring impersonal liberations, not interested in Krishna, such attempt will definitely be baffled in the due course of time. That's how it is explained in Bhagavad Gita. And these demons are always against following any of these principles. They want to just enjoy unlimitedly without any control and restraint. And those who are strongest among them, like all these, advisors, actually they are interested in themselves. They are not interested in Kamsa's enjoyment. They know if Kamsa is protected, then they can enjoy unlimitedly. If Kamsa dies at the hands of Vishnu, then their own desire to enjoy unlimitedly will be definitely stopped. Therefore, somehow or other, they are just inspiring Kamsa, you please, don't worry, go ahead. Do whatever is required, whatever is needed, just do it. That is the slogan.
Just go on doing it. And here they're inspiring him to kill innocent children, just 10 days old, anywhere, everywhere. Whereas the devotee's attitude is completely opposite. You know, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Pathivita Chaitanya Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatta Prachara Hoibe Maranam. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inspiring all the devotees to go to every place, all the places, to distribute the holy names. Whereas here, the same thing they're trying to do, going to all the places, but desiring to kill the innocent people. So, this is one aspect. The other aspect is, normal people are inclined to do demigod worships. They want to worship demigods for some material motives, material aspirations. Like Lord Krishna again explains, those who are less intelligent, they worship demigods. And then he also explains, those who aspire to worship demigods, within their heart, a super soul, I keep their faith, I strengthen their faith to worship. Then a super soul within the hearts of demigods, he inspires them to fulfill those desires. And through his energies, prakriti, he manifests all the gadgets that is required. And then demigods, you know, reward those gadgets, those kind of material stuff, whatever they want. So in this way, Krishna is helping at every stage to fulfill our desires, but instead of approaching him directly, we approach demigods, and Lord Krishna does not appreciate it actually. He says, Alpa Buddha, less intelligent. Also, it is explained how in the universal form, Lord manifests all the demigods within his Virat Roop. Indra, the demigods are his hands, it is explained. How all this Chandra Surya are like his eyes. And all these things are explained, demonstrated by Krishna in his universal form. So when you offer something to demigod, it is actually offering to Krishna's hand. Krishna says, I am the enjoyer ultimately. Bhaktaham Jagyantapasam. I am the enjoyer of everything, all sacrifices. So when you offer anything to Indra or any other demigods, it is actually offering to Krishna's hand, and Krishna takes it then. Eats it. That offering. And sometime one devotee was asking me, if offering to demigod is offering to Krishna, then why not take that prasad? We can eat that prasad, no? It is offered to demigod. That means Krishna says, I am the ultimate enjoyer. That means Krishna prasad. So what is the problem in eating? Because it is the bhava with which it is offered, or the feelings. Feelings is that I am giving this to get back something. So when a person approaches a demigod, in 99.99% case, it is like this. I have come with this kind of austerity, this kind of sacrifice, because I need this. So that person is not actually interested in the demigod. He is interested in the fruit that he is going to get from the demigods. He is always inclined for the fruit. Therefore, whatever is required to offer, he is ready to offer within his capacity. He is ready to offer. So he is not interested in the demigod or the person with whom he is worshipping. And similarly, the demigod, because he knows this person is not interested in me, he says, how much is giving me? Accordingly, rewards. Kitna laya, kitna cash hai? Like, let me reward accordingly, like that. It's like that. Like a businessman. So there is no relationship between the worshipper and person who is worshipped. Whereas, when a person approaches to Krishna, Krishna actually derides a lot against demigod worship within the chapter. He says the disadvantages within chapter 9. Then he says, he ends that section saying, Yanti deva brata devan pitrin yanti pitrivata bhutani yanti bhutejya mat bhakta yajinopimam. That those who worship demigods, deva brata, brata means vows, austerities, they do a lot of austerities. It's a big kind of show actually, to please the demigod. And they ultimately go to the demigod's planet. And those who worship ghosts and spirits, they go to planet of ghosts and spirits. Now, Prabhupada explained, this spirit doesn't mean spiritual. Ghosts and spirits. Just like there is the alcohol, another synonym is also spirit. So those who consume alcohol are not spiritualists. You know, they're actually the reverse situation. So we see that in this world, people with different motives, they do certain kind of worship, and ultimately they achieve that. So in the 7th chapter also Krishna says that antakale cha mameva smaran bhaktva kalvaram. Those who worship me at the end of life, they come to me. Or he says yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajyate ante kalvaram. This bhavam is very important. This word is also explained very nicely by Premdas Prabhu the other day. Because bhava is actually a little more intense than, it's an intense thought. It's a thought, but it's an intense thought. There may be so many thoughts that come to our mind and go away. And we forget. Just like a thought may come, let me see a movie. That's a thought and you'll forget. But bhava means you are so much inspired by that movie, you just can't stop but go to watch that movie. So bhava actually pushes us to certain destination. It will push us to the movie theater. Automatically. We have this, I think I had this kind of experiences. I don't know, many sadhus are here. So the bhava actually pushes. Similarly, if we have the desire to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or hear Bhagavad Gita, like Arugopna Chandra Prabhu, Shadbhuj Prabhu, all these exalted souls, they are just pushed to the front seat. You know, that bhava is pushing them to come and hear. Similarly, this bhava actually at the end of life, throughout life, whatever we do, whatever thoughts and desires we develop, that bhava will push us to our next destination. If it is demigod worship, Krishna says, you will achieve planet of demigods. But if you worship me, you will achieve me, Krishna says. Those who worship me, naturally, they will achieve me. And then he says, how to worship me? And he gives very simple formula. For demigod worship, it is always very complex, very complicated. Lot of, you know, I have seen in our houses, they do this yagya and all these things, you have to, everybody has to fast, you know, including children. And in devotee family, we give prasad to children, no problem. And even Janmashtami, we feed prasad, kids can, but I used to remember, I have to fast till 3 o'clock, holding my stomach, when the puja will be over and we'll eat something. These demigod worships are full of different rituals and yantra, tantra and all these things. And lot of bhoga in different ways, different preparation has to be made. 10 types of fruits, 10 types of flowers, 10 types of leaves, and 10 types of sweets, so many things. Then that puja will be complete. Then the demigod will give blessings, good health, but no intelligence. You know, you cannot cover up any time. Something will get, something will, many things will miss. But Krishna, he is asking to worship him, but he is asking in a very simple way. Patram puspam phalam toyam. Yome bhaktya prayachati, tadam bhaktya uparhatam asnami pratatmana. A very nice verse where Krishna explains that you give me just one leaf, one flower and one fruit, or any one of them, or little water. And the acharya explains so nicely this verse that Krishna is not actually interested in this, the things that we are going to give him, but he is interested in us. Because anyone can give these things. And Krishna is asking for bhakti so that we will be interested in him, not in what results we are going to get out of him. So in this way, when you approach Krishna with little whatever we have and offer Krishna with bhakti, then we lose interest in the things of this world and take interest in Krishna. And somebody was saying, why Krishna is not asking gold, silver, rubies, all these things? Because all these things are, first of all, not available with everyone in this world. So therefore Krishna is saying, I am interested in all of you, not just some category of people, rich people or intelligent people, not like that. I'm interested in all of you, anyone. And secondly, why patram puspam? Because this thing can be offered every day. For demigod worship, we cannot afford to offer demigod, you know, worships throughout the year every day. It's very difficult, very expensive. The results we'll get back will go all in the, you know, dakshina and puja and all these things. So therefore, Krishna is inspiring us to come to him every day, like every day Govinda Madhupurusham offer a flower, devotees. Everybody can offer a flower. So while offering flower, we develop a relationship with Krishna and our love gradually increases and this worship becomes takes such an intense role in our life that we develop attachment for Krishna and we lose attachment for the things of this world. So in this way, bhakti gradually grows, we see how Krishna is wonderful and nice in association of devotees and our desire to enjoy and become attached to a temporary world where we are travelers is actually, it is loosened and we come to real knowledge, real happiness. Otherwise in this world, it's very easy to get attached. Like even mode of goodness is very, very, very alluring. Since like many of us know, like we chant in the morning here, but those who go out early in the morning, like sometimes the terrace is very attractive because cool breeze, very cooling atmosphere, Kadambat, all trees are there. Of course, it's a Vrindavan atmosphere here. But normally I have seen in the morning if you take a stroll, take a morning walk, not here in Bombay. Bombay is not a good place to take morning walks, but in countrysides like Wada and places, if you take a morning walk, it's very, very enlivening. Very, very something we like very much. And the moment we like very much something in this world, we'll get attached. And the mode of goodness is actually will capture us and bind us into this world. And we'll never be able to escape. We'll never be able to liberate. And the moment we're bound to this world is full of miseries and we cannot escape. Nobody can escape. So in this way, we see how these demigods themselves are troubled by anxieties always, running here and there for help. And therefore, taking interest in them, taking help of them, will not help us remove our miseries. How somebody in total anxiety can help other to remove his anxieties? So the advice they can give some material stuff to make us forget our miseries. Miseries is already still there, but it just makes us forget. These all these, you know, movies or, you know, so many beautiful gadgets like, you know, iPhones and all these things. They're so attractive. They make us forget about the miseries we are going through. But the moment the movie is over, miseries are back. People take to drinking and all these things. Once the high, they come down, when their feet touches the floor, come down from the high, then the miseries are there. They're still there. They don't go away just like that. But if we develop this attachment to Krishna through bhakti and actually transcend these things, then actually we'll start experiencing real love and happiness. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your kind attention. We have some time. Anybody want to give some comments? Gaurupal Prabhu, Shyamalan Prabhu, and okay, Srila Prabhupada ki. Tiger Premanandai.